This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Welcome into the full-time report. Abe Gordon and John Nelson hanging out with you here at a now pretty empty Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Atlanta United falls 1-0 to the Philadelphia Union. We're going to hear from the manager, Ronnie Dyla, in the post-game press conference in just a moment. But in the moments directly after the match, he caught up with Madison Cruz down on the field.
Coach, what did you see from the touchline?
I had a little bit deja vu, what I've seen before. It's we have chances, we don't take our chances, and then we give our game too easy. You know, it's a ball through and end up with a handle. So when you don't take the chances are good enough inside the 60 meters, you end up with no points. And they are more dangerous than us when the balls go into the box. A set play, they are more dangerous. They look like a more threat. But as the chances we have, we have to put in goal if we're gonna get points. That's how it is. So I think we had good control of the game. I think there was an even game, but they put one goal in goal and we didn't.
How frustrating is it to let this game get away from you?
It's so frustrating. It's like it's terrible. It's a very very hard feeling. We need to deal with it. That's how it is. And then there's no hiding places. We just have to keep going and believe and be more accurate and more killer instinct inside the two boxes.
Thank you, Coach.
Well, there it is from Ronnie Dyla down on the field. It sounds like he's at the post-game podium as well. So let's go ahead and get right to it. Ronnie Dyla's comments with the assembled media.
Back until the final minutes. I was curious if something changed around the 25th minute or what affected y'all?
I think the last 10 minutes of the first half, a little bit, as I agree with you, that they had a little more the ball. I don't think they created the big chances. They had the one in the first minute. We had a big chance with Jamal that we have a chance to put in a goal. We have some good crosses. We had some opportunities. I think we played a good first half. I think we were in control. We were a lot in their half. We get spaces outside. We were switching play. We get inside the box. But again, it's a little bit deja vu. I say the same things every time. It's like, you know, we have 5 big chances. We don't put over nothing in a goal. And when they get their opportunity, they do it. And they won. They had a couple more. But I feel that when they get the ball in the box, they are more dangerous than us. That's the main part, you know. So if they have a set play, I feel like something going to happen. When we have a set play, I don't see it. I feel we are not accurate enough, but not aggressive enough. And that's a challenge we have as a team. We can play as much as we want. I don't think Philadelphia is playing beautiful football and these things, but they go straight and they win balls and they get balls in the box and they are dangerous when crosses and set play is happening. That's the difference between us and them right now.
Roger. Do you feel like there was progress made? You talk about the first half. Do you feel like there was progress made in just in terms of the way the team was able to build up and kind of impose themselves on Philadelphia in that first half? Some counter-pressing, some aggression going forward?
I think, but they changed, you know, after 35 minutes. They changed their back four again. They started with a five. So then in the first, they had two strikers. And we play out those two strikers all day. So we stepped the ball with Luis and Matt all the time and caused them problems. Then to go to a three, then we have to switch the play even quicker so we can get opportunities and feed wide and then come inside again and switch. Even though I think, you know, we were in good control, when I come to the break, I have a good feeling. I feel like this is a half we can look ourselves in the eyes and go from. And then we have, not a good start of the game. I think we come back again. And I said, if I knew the answer of that, then of course we will do something. I asked them, it's difficult to say. Happened also in Austin. I think that is a more challenging thing than what you talk about the last 10-15 minutes. I think the first 15 is not good enough in the second half. And then they score, and then they are over their half, and we get some great opportunities. It's like, we need to also be clinical when we get that. We play a team that has won a lot of football games, and we knew that. So it was an even game, but they were more dangerous than us in the two boxes.
And you know, Matt Edwards is a young player, and he's played as a center back and a back two. He's played as a center back and a back three, wing back, a full back. What have you just – tell us about what you've seen from him and how he's grown over the course of the season.
I think he's fast, and he's a good one-on-one defensively. He can defend, and that is the main strength of him. That's why he can play an outside center back. He played in a center back also, but I think that was against Cincinnati. We were a little bit lack of people. But I see him as an outside center back in three or a full back. Still not the player that is going all the time. He's more build-up player, it's things to develop. But he has the physique to and his strength in the defense work. And we as a team need that kind of players.
It's Abe Gordon and John Nelson, the full-time report here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And, John, it's tough to listen to that because I think that Ronnie Dylas so badly wants to speak about some positives.
Yeah.
And there were positives today, but at the end of the day, there are also the similar frustrating moments that you felt over the course of the season. He used the term both with Matty and in that press conference, he used the term deja vu. That's right. I took some notes too here, John.
Yeah, but you type yours. I write mine.
You know, it's all right. And it was deja vu. Mm-hmm. It did feel that way. Now, I will say this. It's a feeling. It is almost going to sound like a Star Trek. It's a name I haven't heard in a long time. It's a feeling I haven't had for quite a while, mm-hmm. in terms of deja vu, in terms of if you had missed your chances and this and that, because we've had a couple of matches where you have been outplayed,
yeah.
and those results came their way. This did feel like that stretch where you could somewhat argue there were some instances of the results didn't match the performances and all that. This is a tough one because you had chances, and he directly mentioned Jamal Tiare. That's the one that certainly is going to stick with you. But I listened to Mike and Jason as they were going through their discussion near the end of their portion of the broadcast,
right.
and I understand where all that is coming from. But I watched today's game, honestly, with a pretty positive eye. And the result is the result. It's always going to have to stand as a loss and 0 points. But I thought you took multiple steps forward. It's unfortunate that Ronnie Dylas couldn't really directly talk in that manner.
Yeah, you know, you had the lineup, and Jason and Mike discussed it. You started D-I-S-C-U-S-S-E-D. They discussed. They talked with one another about it. Started with a back five. And Ronnie Dylas mentioned that then Philadelphia changes after that 35 minutes. And if you look, and I always make a point to look at the flow chart that SofaScore has as one of my reference points when we look at match control. And in that first 35 minutes, and I'll show you, and I know that doesn't really work well for radio, but just for the sake of showing you, Atlanta's in the green, and for the first 35 minutes, you see match control coming from Atlanta United, and then
yeah.
you have that tail at the end of the first half, then you have Philadelphia in control early part of the second half, they have the goal, and then it comes to Atlanta as Atlanta is chasing. So Philadelphia changes And then they go to a back four. You saw Luis Abram and Matt Edwards getting engaged early on. In the first 20 minutes, you had a shot from Brooks Lennon that went over the bar. You had the shot from Pedro Amador. And then you had the Jay Fortune shot in the 28th. And then the fantastic pass from Amador to Jamal Tiare. And that got you to that point about the 35th minute. And then you saw the – then you had the philosophy change from Bradley Carnell where he changes, and then the momentum goes back to Philadelphia. They manage to, you know, have that momentum for the end of the first 45, and then they carry it into that you know, the early part of the second 45. You end up with the Baribeau penalty in the 59th minute. So then you have Atlanta United chasing once again. Not good enough in the second half. Ronnie Dyla said as much, and the 15th minute ends – at the Baribeau penalty.
Yeah.
And then you have to turn it up from there. And once again, you've got to be clinical in these, and Atlanta United just was not as they were chasing the match in the final 30 minutes.
Quick look at the numbers. This statistical recap is brought to you by Emory, the official team healthcare provider of Atlanta United. Possession was in favor of Atlanta, 63-37%. But again, a lot of that certainly conceded.
Yeah, Philly didn't
once
want
they
it.
Had taken the lead, 1-0 Philly. Shots, an edge to the Union, 14-9. Shots on goal, an edge to the Union. I wrote down 6-3. I think it was actually 6-2. Maybe I just mistyped there. You don't do that when handwriting. You don't write a 3 when it should be a 2. But that's all right. XG was a 2.1 for the Philly Union, 1.3 for Atlanta United, and obviously a good portion of that from the goal and the penalty kick in that regard. So when we come back here, we will hear some of the highlights. A lot to discuss in regards to the buildup of the penalty that led to the only goal scored by Ty Baribeau in this one. We'll talk about that on the other side. He is John Nelson. I am Abe Gordon. It is the full-time report on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Welcome back to Mercedes-Benz Stadium as Atlanta United has fallen 1-0 to the Philadelphia Union. Let's find out exactly how that goal did get put up on the board. These highlights are brought to you by Scana. For over 20 years, Scana Energy has made it easy for Georgians to receive the best natural gas rates and excellent customer service. Call 877-467-2262 to sign up today. It is Abe Gordon and John Nelson here on the full-time report, and this is a triple threat here of you did it to yourself. It started out with a ball into a dangerous spot, a misplay from Brad Guzan, and an eventual handball that had to be called, and we can discuss that in a little bit, eventually leading to Ty Baribo being sent to the penalty spot.
Moranchuk tries to win it back, but it's cleared up to Kai Wagner. Wagner playing a home run ball over the top. Brad way off his line and missed it. Bounces wide of the near post, and a handball at the edge of the six to knock it away from the net. They didn't call a handball. It's out for a throw. It's going to be looked at. That's going to be a handball on Derek Williams, I think, and a penalty.
Was given. I think it had to be given. It eventually led to Ty Baribo barely putting one home.
Now he'll back up to his line. Baribo is standing behind the ball. As Brad takes his position and hits the crossbar, Baribo up to it, strikes it, and scores. Brad guessed correctly, diving to his right, but Baribo with a well-taken penalty to drill it past him. Philadelphia's got the 1-0 lead.
All right, so we'll get to the penalty itself here in just a moment. Let's go back to the start of it all. I think it's the right move for Brad Guzan to come out and try and cut the ball off. I think the runner is in on goal if he stays on his line. I have no issue with that. Obviously here, John, you have to connect with the ball. Even the slightest deflection, and you're probably still okay, more than what you had. It may have taken, it may have breezed his shirt, but if a shin taps it, it's got to be contacted and rerouted. That didn't happen. That eventually leads to, I thought it was Luis Abram, maybe it was Derek Williams.
I think it was Luis Abram.
Sliding in. Look, I don't know how you're supposed to slide.
Right.
His arm's away from the body. It's definitely a handball. It has to be called a handball.
Right.
Somehow they missed it live. It went to replay, and as you saw it, slow motion.
And they went Zapruder on the whole thing.
It had to be called. It has to be called.
Did it?
So, yes, it does. Yes. And quite frankly, if I'm being honest, I would have sent him off with a red card. That's just me. Intentional or not, that's a clear denial, goal scoring. It's going in the back of the net. Intent, maybe you can argue, is why it was only a yellow and not a red. It's not a Luis Suarez moment, but some of the things I wouldn't have called, and that one certainly I would. And then to make it even worse, Goose has faced, I think this was maybe his fifth penalty shot faced this year. I don't think he's dove correctly until tonight. He guesses correctly. And it just sneaks under him.
Yep.
And he'll tell you a couple things. He'll tell you, obviously, I should have been able to handle the ball in the run of play. He'll certainly tell you he's got to make that save. So between misplaying the ball, between the handball on Abram, and between Goose guessing right and having it sneak under him, just really a triple threat insult to injury on that one.
No, and I think that the initial point, Brad not making full contact, mm-hmm. and then Luis having to come back and defend, I guess the point can be made as you look at the offense. Deliberately touching the ball, hand or arm, example, moving hand and arm towards the ball. Mm-hmm. That gets the check mark. Touches the ball with hand or arm, body's made unnaturally bigger, period. Players considered to have made their body unnaturally bigger when the position of their hand or arm is not a consequence of or justifiable by the player's body movement for that specific situation. By having their hand or arm in such a position, player takes a risk of their hand or arm being hit by the ball and being penalized. So that's points 2 and 3, and so I guess that would be where you could try and have the argument about whether or not you would make that call, because what is Luis supposed to do in that instance as he's trying to slide and defend? And so that would be the counterpoint to that particular argument. But at the end of it, after it goes to VAR, decisions made by Chris Penso and VAR, they agree that it is a yellow card and that it is a penalty. Brad guessed right, but it just gets underneath him, and you end up with that one moment of the game. And when you're going up against Philadelphia, that's all that you need if you're Philadelphia. You need that one moment because you know with Philadelphia, if you are, you know, it's in their DNA. All they need is that one moment, and then they'll just play lockdown and try to get out of Dodge, basically.
And it was also a situation where you can probably count on Atlanta United not being confident finishers. We had already seen Jamal Thierry with look, if it's on net, it's in the goal.
Yeah.
I don't want to walk around it. He brushes it by the far post. He was probably trying to keep it too tight to the post, but the keeper, and this is on a cross, the keeper's nowhere near. The keeper's near post. He's not covering the ground. He's not sliding back over. If Thierry puts it on net, and he's wide open, by the way, it's not like he's head-to-head with another guy. He's wide open. He just missed it. He just absolutely missed it. There's no way to walk around that. And that could have put you up 1-0. You have a whole different ball game. And that goes back to the deja vu. That goes back to a couple of moments in matches past where you sit here and said, man, if this team could finish, they would have a lead. And it doesn't play itself out differently. Look, I still have a number of positives that I want to get to.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to get to them on the other side. But what we will do right now is add to our man of the match. And we'll update the standings. It's been a couple of weeks since we updated the standings for everyone. So, John, who do we have for man of the match today as Atlanta United falls 1-0 to Philly?
I'm going to give it to Alexei Medanchuk. Played the full 90, third match in a week, AM 5-9, 54 of 61 passing, 89%, two key passes on the day, had one cross, had connected on his first 11 long balls on the match, finished at 11 of 14, obviously, as Atlanta United is trying to chase late. One successful dribble attempt, 3 for 3 on the ground, so he won all of his duels tonight, went 5 for 5 in that. Fouled once, two clearances, a block, a pick, and a tackle. So a lot of different categories for Alexei Medanchuk, but you could see how he was trying to create for Atlanta United in the match, a couple of dimes early, working the offense in the first 25 to 30 minutes. So for me tonight, it goes to Alexei Medanchuk. Yes, it was a close competition, but we'll give it to AM 5-9 tonight.
Who was it close with?
I mean, for me, it was Jay Fortune.
Yeah, Jay's won three. That would have been three of the last four had Jay Fortune been given it. He's obviously a guy, and we'll talk about him a little bit later, he's obviously a guy that fits very well in this 5-3 formation there. So Latte Loth, Tristan Moyamba, Brooks Lennon, Miggy, Brad Guzan, Bartosz Leish, Mateusz Glik, Matt Edwards, and now Alexei Moranchuk all have one man of the match. Saba Lobjanice has gotten two man of the matches, and Jay Fortune standing alone right now with three man of the matches again, back to back against Chicago and Nashville.
For me, it was AM 5-9, Jay Fortune, Matt Edwards. Yeah. It was a close competition.
All right, when we come back, I still want to continue talking about some of the positives, including something I saw in the first 30 minutes that I don't think I've seen all season. I'll tell you what that is in about 5 minutes. He is John Nelson of Soccer Down Here. I'm Abe Gordon. It is the full-time report on Sports Radio 92.9.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nerds.
Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
In the game. Welcome back into the full-time report. Abe Gordon and John Nelson breaking down a 1-0 loss to the Philadelphia Union. And, John, I was saying I'm probably a little bit more positive about this game than maybe I should be. Obviously, you're desperate for points.
Yeah.
There's no walking around that, but you're starting the first of three straight home games. It was tonight, and obviously you lose this one. But I thought there were some real steps forward in terms of performance, not in terms of the results, but in terms of performance. And I teased there as we went to break, I saw something in the first 30, 35 minutes that I don't know that I would argue or say that I've seen at any point this entire season, and that is the guys up front looked connected.
Mm-hmm.
They were making runs, and the passes were finding those runs, and they were paying them off. Now, they didn't ultimately result in a goal, but it looked like there were chances that were created because of guys being on the same page in the attack. And I just don't think I've seen that at any other point this season. It's maybe just a little glimmer of hope that things are getting better. Certainly it feels like this 5-3 lineup is probably what I would imagine they plan on sticking with. It has seen a little bit better run of play in the recent weeks than really anything else this year.
Yeah, and I think you've seen the value of a healthy Pedro Amador on the left-hand side, especially with what we saw from him early. Brooks Lennon was back in the lineup, but unfortunately Brooks had to be replaced by Saba, and it was only 20 minutes in, so what you were anticipating with the movement and the speed and the ideas up the left and the right-hand sides, you don't get from Brooks, and you have Saba come in the 20th minute to try and fill that particular position. But, the passes from Alexi, the work from Pedro, the work from Saba, and getting it to Jamal and getting it to Miggy, in that first 35 minutes, I do see your point there. But once again, it's about maintaining it over the full 90, and that didn't happen, especially into the second half, as we talk about from 45 to 60, where you talk to Ronnie Dyla about it, and they didn't have control of the match, and they didn't have the chances that they created in the first 30 minutes.
Going to hear from Matt Edwards in just a moment, but I do want to ask you, I didn't catch an update, maybe you did. I have to imagine Brooks Lennon was substituted out because of concerns about the hamstring.
That's my guess, missed
midweek,
yeah.
And that's the only thing that made sense to me. They didn't make an announcement in the press box, but I have to imagine there was some concerns about a setback on that. We'll certainly have a lot more detail on that for you over the course of the week, but that's the only thing that made sense in regards to the substitution at the time that it took place. Just a couple of moments ago, Madison Cruz, your partner there at Soccer Down Here, she caught up with Matt Edwards.
Matt, what was missing out there for you guys today?
We just couldn't get the ball in the back of the net today, I think. Today, I feel like We were a lot better in the first half. We came out slow again in the second half, which is a trend of ours that we need to address. Cheap goal giveaway from all of us because of how slow we came out. And then we were chasing the game. We still have big chances. We just, as a group, we need to find a way to put the ball in the back of the net and just keep going and keep being resilient. Find a way to win. I think that's what we're lacking right now.
How frustrating is it to let this game get away from you guys?
It's very frustrating. I think we all were very heartbroken by this one. Not like we're not heartbroken by all of them, but this one hurts a lot in the moment, and we're just trying to find a way to win, and we're struggling. So I think we all need to look in the mirror and come back next week for our another home game and try to get 3 points out of that.
Yeah, look, I can understand the team being down, especially when it again, the words of Ronnie Dalla twice was deja vu, mm-hmm. and you certainly want to feel that, hey, we took a step. First off, let's go back to Austin. We took a step forward in Austin, coming home with a point where we were out of it for 40.
Stick with it. You get a goal at 90+2. You get away with a point.
You turn that into, can we build some momentum at home? Mm-hmm. Now, again, you lost 1-0. I understand that. But the play felt much improved. This is also a Philly team here, John, that is number two. Now, I believe, number one in the Eastern Conference. This is a team you knew was going to be a tough beat. And you stepped onto the field with them and played them relatively fairly. And obviously things get twisted in your favor possession-wise because of the goal and certain things and how they play themselves out the rest of the way. I thought this was a relatively even match. And I think there were matches a while back in the season that you say were either even or mm-hmm. Atlanta United had the better play that you didn't get results. And you just have to wonder the mindset of that feeling of, hey, we're back to this. We're back to we're playing well. We're doing some things. And I know I spoke with you a couple of post games ago. It's like, man, they just don't ever feel dangerous. They felt dangerous today. They're back to feeling dangerous every once in a while. But ultimately, you have to be clinical. We've talked about that match after match after match, probably starting like from match day 3 until
right.
7.
Yeah.
And then the play just dropped off, and then you didn't have the better of it. But it's got to be so frustrating to be going through that aspect potentially of the season again.
Yeah, and it's a point that you hear Ronnie Dalla make. It's a point that you hear, you know, the players that catch up with Maddie and Jason, but that they make. And if you give up that early goal, you're chasing the game. And we always talk about game state and how the ideas that you have there, they change if you are having to chase the match. And obviously it's very, very frustrating. You can hear it in Matt Edwards' voice. And the other element in the interview with Maddie and Matt, once again, it's a trend that they have to address, coming out slow in the second half. So if you're right there and you're even after 45, coming out slow at the beginning of the second half, the trend that you have to address it, and taking it, control as you did in the first half, because in the first 30-35 minutes you're running Philadelphia ragged. You're looking at folks and they're having problems catching you, but you're not putting the ball in the back of the net. So Philly continues to feel that they are in this game and all they need is that one opportunity. They get that one opportunity because of a mistake that Atlanta United makes, and they're clinical in taking advantage of it, putting the ball in the back of the net on a PK. And then you're having a chase. So that's the thing. It's like they took advantage of their opportunities. Atlanta United did not. And Ronnie Dalla post-match, we need to be honest, soft in both boxes, and we have no killer instinct. Obviously something that has to be addressed going forward.
For every Atlanta United clean sheet, Atlanta United would like to remind you that for each Atlanta United clean sheet this season, they'll donate $2,000 to the Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. This year's donation total is currently $2,000. When we come back here on the Full Time Report, we will hear from Jay Fortune. He spoke to the assembled media just a couple of moments ago. We'll let you hear what he had to say. Continue breaking down a tough luck defeat for Atlanta United. They fall 1-0 to the Philadelphia Union here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. He is John Nelson. I am Abe Gordon. The Full Time Report continues in 5 minutes right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back to Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Abe Gordon, John Nelson of Soccer down here. It is the full-time report. A 1-0 loss for Atlanta United. And just looking at the schedule, chatting with John here in our short break, we've got two more home games here, and they're going to be tough ones. Cincinnati and Orlando. And we'll break down that Cincinnati game in just in our next break, in our final segment. And a reminder, just ahead of time, that is a Sunday kickoff,
Sunday
not the
usual night
Saturday.
Soccer. So Mercedes
Sunday,
Benz
there you go. But you're going to be hitting the road here for six straight road games after these next two home games, and obviously that schedule quirk is because of the Club World Cup coming and taking over Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It's understandable, but look, you're going to be at the halfway point or just about by the time this homestand is over, and you've got to find a way to pick up some points here at home. I thought, again, yes, you lost 1-0, but I thought the performance was good enough tonight. Maybe if you can find some ways to continue at that level, and obviously you'd like to build upon that, maybe you can find some points against a very good Cincinnati team, against a very good Orlando side. But we'll talk about those matches in our next segment. Right now we want to chat about what Jay Fortune did, and he was down there and joined the assembled media just a couple minutes ago.
How frustrating is it to let this game get away from you guys?
Could probably guess. Another game at home, one that we had chances to go up in. Chances to win, and we didn't. So,
looking at the match and looking at the ones coming up, what do you guys need to see change in training to get the results on the field?
I don't know. I think it's very hard to say that. Nobody doesn't want to give the best effort, wants to win, but at the end of the day, it's simply not good enough. myself included. If we're not winning, then I have to change something. I have to be better. And I'm sure that's the mindset of a lot of guys out there. But it's very easy to sit here and say what we need to do. But at the end of the day, I believe the next game's on Sunday. It's more important what we do on the field than what I tell you guys now. So.
Thanks,
Jay. Well, a couple things, and I want you to get into Jay Fortune's performance tonight. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to write some stuff down so I don't forget while you get into that. But we do just want to continually point out, and we already talked about Matt Edwards a little bit, Jay Fortune. Those two guys, mm-hmm. young guys, Atlanta United guys, have really, really shown out since they've been implemented and placed into the starting lineup in this formation, the 5-3. And it's been dynamic to watch those two specifically get after it. And Jay Fortune, again, was very strong tonight.
Well, and to your point, it hasn't been just in that one position. Whether it's been in previous matches where you've seen Jay up at left wing, where you've seen Matt last time out playing three separate positions because of necessity and being there for Atlanta United, and Jay being one of your two sixes that you have in this formation, those kinds of things. But you mentioned Jay and his numbers tonight, 48 of 54 passing at 89%, had four of five of his long balls connect. He had the one shot in the first half, which was off target. He was 8 of 12 on his duels on the evening, 7 of 9 on his ground duels on the night. He was fouled three times, which meant that Philadelphia was keeping an eye on him when it came to Atlanta United in possession. He also had the one interception and four total tackles on the night. So Jay Fortune continuing to impress wherever he is needed. Same for Matt Edwards here for Atlanta United here in this stretch of games.
There was a comment there from Jay Fortune that stood out to me. Now, mm-hmm. I don't have a problem with him saying it. I know what he meant. But I'm going to break it down in a slightly different way.
Okay.
And he talked about this and that needs to change, and if it can't change, then I need to do more.
Yeah, I have to be better.
I understand that. Here's the thing. I think that can get you in a dangerous spot. I think, and I know what he meant. He didn't mean it this way. I'm not suggesting that he spoke incorrectly, but I'm just saying there were instances in today's game where I think there were players that felt pressure of me, not we, right? And so I think there were instances where the team needs to find a way to do more. I think there was a moment where Latte Loth put a good move on, and he has Miggy on his right, and he goes for goal on his own. Why does he do that? I think there's a little bit of I haven't scored a goal in this.
There's a lot of self-pressure.
And it's thing. Not just Lotte Loth, right? There was a moment where and I don't know if it was going to be ruled offsides or what the call was, but right at the end of the first half, Saba and Thierry are sprinting towards the ball, and Saba tries to put a move on. If he had laid it off, or found, now it would have been a tight pass there for Saba. If he had found a way to get it to Thierry, he had a tap in there on the far side of the goal. And it's just one of those things where I know what Jay's trying to say. I have no issue with what he meant, but I also think there's a dangerous line of players who feel pressure because they have not done what their either designation, salary, but whatever is supposed to be doing. And, of course, I'm talking about designated players, goal scorers on this team. And I just think it's a fine line between trying to do too much.
Understood.
Right? And the pressure that you feel because you haven't done those sorts of things. I think we certainly have seen it from Miggy, certainly have seen it from Lotte Loth, and I think you can make an argument that you've seen it a little bit from Saba as well. And so I just don't want players to get too caught up into the I need to do more. It's about doing so within the scope of improving the team.
But at the same time, though, you can't pin a player down to sit there and say, don't think too much about, you know, what you want to accomplish here. You want them to be that individual. There's a reason that they are at that particular point of their game, in this particular point of their career. You don't want them to hold back when it comes to the thought about wanting to produce, because they have done that for this particular point of their career.
Yeah.
You don't want them to hold back mentally to sit there and say, okay, well, no, I shouldn't do this. I need to be – there's a reason that they are who they are. You don't want them to hold back on who they are, understanding – I understand your idea, but at the same time, you don't want them to hold back. I will say one other thing about Jay Fortune, since we're here. I loved the fact that we saw Jay Fortune get into, I want to say it was Bruno Damiani's face after he tried to wrap Brad Guzan around the post.
Yeah.
The fact that you had Jay basically sticking a finger in his face, and I would love to see more of that from players for Atlanta United, not accepting anything like that toward one of your players. You're standing up for your family out here, and we saw that tonight from Jay, and I'd love to see more of that coming up in the future.
All right, when we get back here, we'll wrap things up from Mercedes-Benz Stadium. We'll get you set for another difficult upcoming match. We'll take a look at through the matches that have been completed right now, an updated MLS scoreboard and table update, because you just faced one team that is towards the top, now the top in the Eastern Conference, and guess who's next? It's number two. And so we'll talk about that. Atlanta United hosting FC Cincinnati. It's John Nelson, Abe Gordon. We'll get you set up for that on the other side. It is the Full-Time Report on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Down here live at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, a 1-0 loss for Atlanta United to the Philadelphia Union. And with this 3 points picked up by the Union tonight, they do jump at the live table to the very top of the Eastern Conference, ahead of the team that Atlanta United will play in a week plus time, because it is a Sunday kickoff, FC Cincinnati. I've noticed a statistical anomaly about Cincinnati I want to mention in just a moment. But before we do that, Cincinnati and Columbus met up today. They played to a 1-1 draw. I think this was in Columbus, right? And you saw some things in that game in terms of game flow that makes you believe that Cincinnati maybe could be had, especially if Atlanta United could put together a performance, quite frankly, a little similar to tonight, obviously a little bit better. You don't want to have the 30 minutes of drop-off just to end the first half and then through the second half as well. But it felt like Atlanta United took a little bit step closer to doing what they need to do, right? We pushed away there. You could only dominate for a half hour. No, today was about 35, 36, 38 minutes,
you're pushing the ladder forward.
Still got to come out of halftime better, but I thought you moved in the right direction despite the result, and you think Cincinnati is, and I'll get to my stat in a bit, but you think they may be ripe for the picking on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the back line. They did have something akin to a 5-3-2 until the whistle was had. Their back line of five, Engel, Miles Robinson, Matt Miazga, Nick Haglund, and Luca Orjano. You come down the middle of the park, you know that someone like a Matt Miazga has been known to have the engine run a little hot. And, you know, Nick Haglund, I think, you know, you can take the speed of Atlanta United and the elevation that can be attained by certain individuals sending the ball inside the 18 and inside the 6. I think that you can have some opportunities there. But once again, the key that we talk about, being clinical in these situations up against these clubs. And so you know that the offense is going to be there for Cincinnati with Kevin Dinkay and Evander and Sergio Santos. You know that it's going to – and Beno Woboda, you know it's going to be there. You know that they're going to want to rush at you. You know they're going to want to try and score as many times as humanly possible, as everybody else does in Major League Soccer. But the offensive firepower is there. Dinkay, Evander, Woboda, Santos, and Buca. But I think that back line of five, as it was trotted out against Columbus for obvious reasons when you have Gazdag Alliou and Diego Rossi coming after you, that I think that you can have your opportunities here against Cincinnati. But once again, it's that whole thing about being clinical that we've talked about a lot. Finishing your chances and being physical inside the 18, physical inside the 6, clinical inside the 6, taking advantage of these opportunities, not having all these close calls that drive the fans crazy when they're sitting here watching that, you know, Jamal's just wide one here, you know, you're wide here, you're wide here, you're wide here. Challenging Roman Celentano, which a lot of the time is a lot easier said than done, but making sure that you're consistent in that pressure and coming down the middle of the park.
I'd like to challenge Celentano on why he still has that mustache, but that's a different story. You kind of led a little bit into what I've noticed here, and I think this is a statistical anomaly, and you talked about the attack for Cincinnati. They got 19 goals on the season. This Philly team that we saw tonight, they're first in the Eastern Conference. They got 27. That's a big difference. Cincinnati's not exactly a lockdown defensive team. 15 goals allowed. This is a team that's got 29 points here, John. Mm-hmm. This is a team that's got 9 wins on the season. They have a goal differential of just 4.
Yeah.
And that is you'd have to go all the way down to NYCFC in 6th place to find a goal differential less than them. Everyone else in the Eastern Conference table is high. And so, I take that for what you will. It just feels like their points per match, probably a little misleading in regards to how good they've been this season. Probably on the end of which you would think maybe there's a fall back down at some point, and hopefully that would start on Sunday, next Sunday, of course, talking about Atlanta United hosting FC Cincinnati. And again, that would be the second of 3 straight home games, Orlando City to follow, but Sunday Night Soccer comes first. And it's you're nearing the halfway point, and you're getting to a situation where you absolutely have got to start racking up points. There was a time where you could have said, hey, 1 point's good enough. I think it was good enough for Austin. But you got to get 3 mm-hmm. at this point at home. There's no doubt about that. There's the potential that after a return of just 20 minutes, Brooks Lennon may not be available the extra day potentially. And certainly we'll get an update over the course of the week on the status of, we believe, a potential re-injury. I don't even want to say injury. Let's say re-aggravation.
Aggravation, yeah.
Of his hamstring. That's what he was dealing with. And then we wait to see if Steon Gregerson, ever returns for this team. I mean, it's feeling like that at this point. Obviously, a little tongue-in-cheek.
But what we've seen in that back five is we've seen Matt Edwards be a part of it. We've seen Derek Williams, and Derek Williams Derek Williams was trying to instigate some offense from the back line, and he had some passes that were some dimes to try to get things moving forward. So the 3 center back set that you had, you know, do you stick with it? I'm fairly certain that it's probably going to be something akin to a Luis and a Derek and a Matt Edwards chasing after what Cincinnati wants to bring to the table. The question will be on that right-hand side, something that we're going to keep an eye on for the next, you know, 6 days or so. What's the right-hand side going to look like? What's it going to look like at right back? Then you'll have the 1-6 that's there, and then figure it out going forward.
Well, let me ask you, while we have a couple of moments here, and you know, let's assume Steon does not return.
Mm-hmm.
I would consider putting Noah Cobb in part of the 3 centers and moving Matt Edwards outside to fill a Brooks spot. I think he certainly has the positional flexibility to do so, allows you to do some things later mm-hmm. in the match if you need substitutions. And I would take a look at that, because the one thing I'm not doing right now is changing out Jay Fortune or Matt Edwards.
No.
Those 2 guys have to be in the starting lineup on Sunday.
No, I'm right there with you. And so I think that it'll be something that Ronnie Dyla and the coaching staff are going to be looking at, Carl Robinson, Matt Lowry, et cetera. I think that you're going to be looking at what's it going to look like over on that right-hand side, where attacking down the left is Kevin Denke and Evander and Woboto. So you're trying to figure out what that matchup's going to look like down the right-hand side. How do you go up against that rush down the left coming up next week? And that'll be what Ronnie Dial and the staff look at over the next 6 days.
Well, all in all, I thought it was a better performance tonight from Atlanta United. But, of course, there's not much to say about zero goals and mm-hmm. 0 points.
Right.
And so the situation is what it is. They will turn the page to Cincinnati on Sunday looking for the full three. Special thanks to Dom Cherosky, our producer in studio, and to John Kramer, our on-site engineer. For
Stud.
Mike and Jason, the voices of Atlanta United, for Madison Cruz and John Nelson of Soccer Down Here, I'm Abe Gordon. Join us again, special broadcast, 6 p.m. on Sunday, May 25th, for our next show as Atlanta United will take on FC Cincinnati. Once again, the final today, Atlanta United 0 and the Philadelphia Union 1. That's going to do it for the full-time report right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.